Well, good morning, family. It's nice to talk to you again. We are doing a couple of things differently. As you can see, we now have a YouTube option. And so for those of you that can see it via YouTube, we're thrilled you're joining us. A couple of things just to bring you up to date on with regard to this new week. As we welcome you to the Wasaga Community Church website, I just want to give you some birthdays and anniversaries. And so we'll take note of that this morning. First of all, Andrew Hamilton has his birthday on the 22nd. Bonnie Bunce, of course, on the 25th of April. And I believe we have an anniversary. Yes, Phil and Gina, a very happy anniversary to you for the 20th. And we also, I think, have a picture from our 50th anniversary drive past with Carl and Judy. And you'll see some of the things that they have there, and Richard is very graciously passing these pictures on, and so very happy couple, despite all that they're going through. All right, I would like to now give you an update on our announcements and things. First of all, the reminder, who's on his throne, who's in charge, and of course, the answer is the Lord. Many of you are doing what Jane and I are doing. We're Facebook messaging a lot of people. And so on Friday, I had the opportunity to Facebook Messenger two of my high school buddies. And of course, they, like me, are working out of their homes. And so we were talking back and forth. My one buddy has set up a sound booth in his living room with blankets and things. He's a voice over announcer. And so he's been doing a lot of auditioning for ads. And after we were finished, I thought to myself, man, he's made a fort in his house. I'm going to ask Jane if we can build a fort in our house too. So anyway, I haven't asked her yet, but after this is over, I'll see if she gives me permission to put blankets all over the tables. And you know what that is. Remember when we were kids doing that? Of course you do. Also want to give you some updates for our notes of praise, and I appreciate Richard doing our technical support. So Richard, let's look ahead to the notes of praise. Okay, and the first one is to let you know about is Joan Douglas was up to RVH this week. Her stats have not changed this past year, and so she does not have to go back for another year. Fantastic. David Johnson is also saying a big, great big thank you to Lynn Boyle for helping him hear the sermon each week. As you're aware, there's a number of folks in our church that don't have internet, and so we are trying to include them. And so Lynn has been working a phone scenario with David so he can hear all the updates from our church each week. So thanks to you also, Lynn. For prayer, Mary Lou Pierce is with her mom and dad. They're not doing well. And, of course, her dad is 95, and he's been exhausted with everything. And, of course, her mom is blind, and so she's going to be there through this week. So we can be praying for her. I also talked to Rhoda Bowman. Rob is doing somewhat better. He's starting to eat again after the amputation of his foot. He's actually saying that the food is tasty, and I find that hard to believe that it's in a hospital. He's drawn that conclusion, but that's miraculous. Also, he has had one of his blood thinners taken off, as well as the insulin drip has been removed. And at this point, he hasn't had dialysis in the last couple of days. So we're kind of waiting to hear, and Rhoda, of course, is hoping the doctors will call again this weekend. The Clarks mentioned to Jane and I that two of their neighbors have passed away this week. And so that's been a hard thing for the street that they're on. Sandy Phillips' friend, Annie, her husband is battling liver cancer. And his chemo treatment has been delayed because of a low blood sugar cell count. They've also found a number of small tumors in his lungs. And that looks like it's going to make surgery impossible. The liver tumor that he had apparently has shrunk, but obviously everyone wants us to continue to pray for Sandy's friend's husband. You might have also seen on the YouTube the situation of a police officer being attacked. Apparently he is recovering, but I'm sure that that's going to affect even if he's able to go back to work. A hard time for different folks. Also want to just bring you an update on the driveway visits that Jane and I are doing. We try to go out every afternoon, and this past week, two of the afternoons while we were out, the snow was blowing to beat the band, and so everybody was freezing cold, and we're so grateful that there's heaters in cars. One interesting thing, when we were visiting Monica and Crystal, they have a friend on their second floor who goes to another church, and when she heard that Monica and Crystal's pastor and wife were visiting, she wanted to be visited too. So as we were coming up to the condo, she came out the second floor door with pots and pans banging away, getting our attention. And then when I was done talking with Monica and Crystal, I threw a snowball at her window so she could come out so we could say goodbye to her. I didn't think I'd be throwing snowballs in the middle of April, but there you go. Also, want to thank everybody who is making phone calls to one another. And I want to thank our elders especially, too, for the calls that you're making on a regular basis to our church family. I'm having reports that many of you are calling one another. You're reaching out to one another, and that's great. And I just want to remind you, too, that Jane and I are here every day. If you want to schedule a specific time for us to come and visit you, please don't hesitate to call or email us. And the other thing, if you want to do something different, come to our house and have a driveway visit with us. We'd love that. Many of you are also telling me that you're enjoying the church family emails that I've started to send out every couple of days to our family. If you have sermon topics or you have specific questions, if you want to have a video chat, a personal video chat with me, anything, I'm open to any needs that come to notice. So those are our notes of prayer and praise. Why don't we just take a minute and let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you on this day that you again are in charge. Our eyes are on you. And we realize that the whole world is trembling. They're waiting. They don't know for what. We know that since you're in charge, ultimately, we are awaiting the day when the trumpet is going to blow and we're all going to meet you in the air. And so, Father, in this new upcoming week, in the midst of all that people are going through, the separation from loved ones, those that have had to go through death situations with their families and not able to have funerals, all the stressors, those that are not able to work and who are feeling great financial stress, for those who are still feeling very alone because of the lack of human contact, Father, remind us that you wrap your arms around us every day. Remind us, as Deuteronomy 27, verse 33 says, underneath us are your everlasting arms because you are people's eternal refuge. And so, Lord, again, thank you for the good news that we've heard. Thank you for the answers to prayer. And thank you for the care and love that we feel as a church family. And even though we're absent from each other, we pray that we'll continue to feel a closeness that comes because we love you so much. And so bless each and every person, near and far. And we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen. I would like to also bring you up to speed on the news feed for the week of April 13th through the 19th. And appreciate a pastor in Edmonton for sending this out to churches across Canada. First one is that Egyptian authorities have foiled a planned attack on Christians in that country. Before Orthodox Easter of April the 19th, seven members of a suspected Islamic cell were shot and killed in a gunfight with police. Our next news feed says that a British vicar took his show on the road in the London district of Notting Hill this past Sunday using a cargo bicycle with mounted speakers. He gave a short message, played Amazing Grace before finishing with the Lord's Prayer. Very creative. Now, some headlines from China. These are concerning. First of all, the National Communist Party is now firing municipal officials if they fail to curb the activities of local Christian churches. and the leaders of the beleaguered Latter Rain Church organization were arrested for gathering on Zoom this week for Easter. So we really need to pray for the pastors in China. Drive-in churches made all manner of news this past week as Christian congregations in Kentucky, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Saskatchewan all faced departmental or municipal legal resistance in using this format during the social distancing of COVID-19. Again, a lot of stress for people, even in terms of worship. From Madrid, a pastor was set up in early March by a local TV reporter, that pretended to make faith commitments to Christ before secretly filming him and then accusing him publicly of practicing conversion therapy. And then churches in London have recently stored some of their art and communion valuables in the Tower of London, fearing social unrest and a potential spike in the crib during the COVID epidemic and lockdown. Islamists in Nigeria have stepped up their attacks during the COVID lockdown. Both government forces and Christians have been targeted during Holy Week, killing dozens. And Google has suspended a particular church app, sending a notice specifying its lack of sensitivity that the content was an attempt to capitalize on a natural disaster. And blogger Doug Wilson, one of the two pastors involved, was preaching on repentance in the midst of a pandemic. And a homeschooling mom, a Christian gal, was released from a Cuban prison after serving 1 year of an 18-month term. She had homeschooled her children out of concern for the socialist ideology that we've been taught. Her husband, who's a pastor, continues to be remanded in prison. And so those are our updates from our news feed for this upcoming week. Sermon for today I have entitled, This is the Day. And I'd like to read to each of you scripture portions from Psalm 118. I find that when I'm going through stressful times, and this time is, of course, no exception for all of us, is I love to go and read the Psalms. I find David has an understanding in the midst of stress, certainly in his own life, of being able to focus on God and praise him. So I'd like to take some verses from Psalm 118. And the first verse is this, in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And then in verses 5 through 8, we have the following. Out of my distress I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. And then in Psalm 18, David goes on in verse 16 to say, the right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. And then in that same psalm in verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. And then in verse 24, a verse that we often quote, but I wanted you to see it in the context of David's words. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us grumble, murmur, complain, be upset. No. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is believed, actually, and this is an interesting point you may not be aware of, it's believed by biblical scholars that Jesus and 11 of his disciples, remember Judas Iscariot had left to betray Jesus on the night of the Last Supper, the night before his betrayal, they actually sang Psalm 118, and then they headed out into the Garden of Gethsemane. And of course, of all the psalms to sing, I mean, we know the psalms are designed to be sung, but this particular psalm to be sung, really? I mean, really? The Lord is my strength, or song, or the right hand of the Lord does valiantly, or I shall not die but live, and open to me the temple gates, and I will enter through them. Really? Jesus would have sung that knowing within 24 hours, what would have been the result of his own life? This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so the question comes back to, how are we doing with that? I mean, really? Are we able to do that with all the stress that we're going through? I got a really nice email from Ted. And Ted sent me an email in which he said, and he quoted a very familiar line, I woke up this morning feeling mighty fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. Well done, Ted. In our own humanness, it's so easy with the stresses of life to go, really? The Lord's in charge? I should enter into the temple gates triumphantly. I should rejoice and proclaim this is the day the Lord has made. I mean, really? It's been interesting since last Sunday, and you'll note this on our next Power Proclaim slide. It's been another 7 days of what I would call isolation, feelings of being caged in, friends not seeing each other or hugging each other. There's been financial turmoil in our entire country and in some of our lives, just feeling overwhelmed financially. And then there's the reality of just fear everywhere. And I said to you last week, I publicly said to people in the store, what do you think? We all have cooties? And three people jumped away from me. People are being fined for rollerblading in an empty parking lot. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, we all awoke up to snowstorms. I mean, really? And statistically, what I found out is that at least 10% of restaurants across Canada are now in bankruptcy. And that is probably on the low side. Really? And so I want to encourage you right now that this is a time to literally say, I need to stop mentally roller coastering. I need to catch my breath, and I need to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord has made this day for you, for me, and for every single person in the world. Sun came up. Sun's going to go down tonight. Earlier, I sent you an email in which I quoted Psalm 131, verses 1 and 2. And you might remember it. Oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not too raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things that are too great and too marvelous for me. But I have what? I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. And so in helping us all to go forward in this next week, I want you to start to think in terms of God's creation on a daily basis. This is the day. Yesterday was the day. Tomorrow will be the day. In all of what we experience in our lives, God's in charge. And I think we need to remind ourselves that in a sense, this is too great or too wonderful for us. There may be a virus, and we may be fighting a war across the whole world. But understand that in the midst of our own finiteness, God's reigning supreme. So calm and quiet your soul. God is like a mother with her weaned child. Imagine the Lord's arms tightly wrapped around you. He's not letting you go. Philippians 4, verses 11 to 12. And again, I want to bring Paul in here for a minute to echo the words that we have from David. I'm not speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to what? To be content. Really? I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty, hunger, abundance, and need. Paul saying, I'm content? Where's his vision? It's on the Lord. And this is a man, and if you remember his background, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verses 24 to 27, he said, five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, in danger from my own people, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, danger in the darkness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Now please note verse 27. What's he saying? He's gone through many a sleepless night. I mean, Paul had his humanness, David had his humanness like you and I. And so many times, I'm sure they went through their lives and go, really, what's going on? We know David had to comfort himself after he came back and found that enemies had taken off the wives, the children, and all their possessions. And sleepless nights are part of being human. But God's in charge. And so I want to again remind you that let's think in terms of one day at a time. If we can look at this as the day the Lord has made, and he's in charge of today, and then I can be content in him, and as Paul says in Philippians 4:13, then what? I can do all things through God who strengthens me. Now that doesn't mean you're going, yeah, let's. I mean, sometimes we're slogging. Sometimes we're fighting fear. But in all of these things, Christ is strengthening us, and he's strengthening us daily. Paul says, remember that you are God's temple, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and that God's Spirit, what? Dwells where? In us. In us. And so as we begin each new day, starting with Monday, let's have open minds filled with faith. God's in charge of even the weather. He made it. And some of you have said, oh my goodness, it's been crazy. I mean, 2 of the days when we were getting ready to go out, we were having our lunch, and I looked out the window, and the snow was blowing horizontally. I'm going, great, I wasn't kidding. We need to take our toboggans when we go out visiting. But God's in charge of even the weather. God's in the midst of the unwanted scenarios of our lives. How many of you wanted a pandemic? Can I see your hands? You know, you're really thrilled that we finally got a pandemic. No. But we need to thank him for being in charge in the midst of all we're going through. Today, Lord, this is the day you've made, and I'm going to thank you. We need to remind ourselves, and this is sometimes hard. We often spew out scriptures like Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Really? This is going to be for God's good ultimately and work together for good? Yeah, right. But that's where faith kicks in. We say, I may not understand it, but if God says it, I'm absolutely determined to believe it. And so when it comes to these kinds of things, we need to remind ourselves that the thing we choose, and it has to do with our thinking, is, for example, we choose faith over fear. And that's what I've been sharing with you over these years, is we have 2 seconds for every life decision we're making, and we make hundreds of them every day, 2 seconds for faith or fear. And that's exactly what, if I can go back to Psalm 118, David has a way of reiterating this concept time and time again, and in this psalm, it's no exception. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And that is even in a man-made virus. What can man do to me? And so we need to remind ourselves that, yes, we are frail. God has given us time boundaries of 24-hour segments. Aren't you glad a day's not longer? Matthew 6, Jesus in his opening talk with the folks when he first started ministry, And he said, therefore, do not be anxious about what? Tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. And so if we go back to verse 25, and he says, do not be anxious about your life in any way, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or about your body, about what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And so we again have this whole theme, and it's reiterated in verse 34, that we are not to be anxious about tomorrow. It will have its own issues. And Jesus, from the beginning of his ministry, had one focus: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In the day that has been made by God for us to enjoy. This day, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad at it. David ends his psalm with some very interesting words. And the words are as follows, and you'll notice this in verses 28 and 29, where he says, you are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. And the next verse says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So in the essence of this is the day, let's remember that we're focused on him, or really we're going to become very negative and go, really? I don't see anything good. I don't know what's going to happen. There's nothing that I want to be involved in today. I think I just wish I could sleep away all day and not have to think. Well, that's part of where we are in the stress of these days. I want to conclude what I have to share with you by telling you a story about a lady that you may not know. Her name was Helen Lamell. Helen was born in England in 1863. She came to the United States with her family when she was a child. Her father was a Wesleyan Methodist pastor, and they settled as a family in Wisconsin. There, Helen spent her teen years growing in musical interest and ability. Her parents provided the best training possible, including a stint in Germany where she studied with a number of the masters. When she returned to the United States, she found herself in demand and began traveling widely and giving concerts in auditoriums and churches across the Midwest. She could have been a popular singer in the midst of a secular world, but she decided that her greatest desire would be to serve Jesus with her voice. So she joined the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago and trained young people in music and song. And it was in 1918 when Helen was visiting a friend who showed her a gospel tract by Lilias Trotter, who was a missionary in North Africa, and the tract was entitled Focused. And Helen read these words in the tract. So then turn your eyes upon him, look full into his face, and I will find the things of earth will acquire a strange new dimness. Helen then decided that she would turn that simple sentence into a famous hymn. Suddenly, she said, as if commanded to stop and listen, I stood still, and singing in my soul and spirit was the chorus, with no one conscious moment of putting word to word to make a rhyme or note to note to make a melody. The verses were then written in the next week, and they were all, in my mind, dictated by the Holy Spirit. Of course, the song was published in Britain in 1922 and later in 1924 in the United States. Helen, after she retired, moved to Seattle, and she passed away at the age of 97 in 1961. She composed over 500 hymns, many, many children's songs. She also put together a popular book for children entitled The Story of the Bible. Her lifelong scenario was to look up, seeing Jesus only, and reflecting his radiance to others. And so she wrote the hymn, O soul, are you weary and troubled? And her verses went, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Though death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you. He promised, believe him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. And the chorus is, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Father, I want to thank you for our family this day. I want to thank you for your family scattered all over this world, wherever they are. And Lord, in many ways, we feel incredibly isolated. But we remind ourselves, this is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to remind ourselves that when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, the things of earth grow strangely dim. And so, Lord, would you go before us? Would you lead us into this week? Would you give us a sense of determination, of spiritual awareness, of a passion for prayer, for an encouragement to people with our mouths? And most of all, that we would be focused on you more than ever, and that our relationship with you would continue to grow strong as we slog on, as we journey on, as we press on in the midst of a world that is so afraid, because the best is yet to come. We bless you and thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.